Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 87. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions. My name is Brett Yanosky.
I'm Austin Morales.
I'm Devin Duree.
And this week, this Friday actually, we have Nicole Winters on, a cosplayer, a gamer, and a fitness
cool person.
Guru.
All right.
That might
cool
be
person.
I don't know. Yeah, there's that. She's really fit, and she's going to talk about some good old fitness and techniques and stuff like
how
that.
How she likes retro gaming.
Retro gaming.
What was it?
I don't know.
Retro gaming.
It's been a long
We've
week.
Been podcasting all day.
It's Friday.
I can't even speak anymore.
Anyway, without further ado, let's cue this music.
Welcome to The Inner Gamer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Inner Gamer Podcast. Today we have a very special interview with Nicole Winters, a cosplayer and all-around awesome person. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi everybody.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You having a good morning this morning? It's morning time at this moment.
It's morning in Texas right now.
Yeah.
I'm still waking up.
Yeah, that makes all of us.
Very late last night watching a couple of series.
Nice.
Which series? Are they
I just finished Falling Skies last night.
Oh,
I know I'm a little bit behind
man.
On that. I started The Get Down on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
I haven't watched that one.
I like it. It's really good.
I'm actually like two seasons behind on Falling Skies. I devoured that show for a while.
I haven't seen Falling Skies.
Oh, it's so good.
I've heard of
yeah, it.
I don't
know
it's so
awesome.
Good.
Couldn't get into it.
That's awesome.
It's just cheesy for me. Sorry.
What? Yeah.
No offense to you guys.
No,
if you like
no,
it, please.
No, it has it definitely has its really cheesy moments where it's like, what are you guys doing? But, you know, it's sci-fi. You
okay
have to expect
wait.
That.
Yeah.
It's okay to be wrong, Austin. It's okay.
Is that the one with like the people? Tell me the premise, like briefly, what's
aliens.
The premise
of that? Aliens like took out every last bit of technology, basically did like a giant EMP over the entire like,
yeah, they invade.
Earth. Yeah, and they invade. And then like this, it follows this guy and his family and they're like their resistance against the alien movement. And that they're actually now like at this point, like they're starting to meet these alien races and work together with them. And
is the guy the DEA guy from Breaking Bad? Is that that show?
No.
Is that a different show?
No.
Different show.
Okay, never mind. I don't know. I've heard about this show,
yeah,
and I like. I know I see. It doesn't have like a purple cover.
Did you ever watch ER?
No.
Okay. Well,
I did
not. I'm running out of references
Sorry,
for
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
Sorry.
You're done. You're done.
Anyway, so we may come back to the show conversation later. But anyway, so Nicole, you are probably a cosplayer, and that's your big thing. And how did you get into cosplay? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well. I didn't get into it until like later on, but I've always been into like, you know, gaming, comic books, anime, like especially in high school is like really when I got into like anime and things like that. Gaming, it's like in my DNA, like my whole family games. So I was,
awesome.
I grew up with it. So in high school is kind of like when I started looking into it, but I didn't have any friends that did it and they're like, they didn't know what it was or like conventions. They're like, what are you talking about? So I didn't like, I kind of stayed away from it. But, after high school and in my 20s is actually when I started getting into cosplaying because in high school I was kind of like a partier. And that extended into like my, younger 20s, I guess. And I stopped that because, you know, it gets boring after a while. And I kind of got in touch with friends from high school that had gotten into the con scene and that type of life. So that's how I kind of got back into going to conventions. Then I went to a convention and I was like, okay, I got to cosplay now because I love dressing up and Halloween has always been my favorite holiday.
When you get bit by the cosplay bug,
man, I'm telling you, it's
it
real.
Don't go away.
Yeah, it's real, man.
Yeah, so much fun. I love it.
It's really interesting to me for people who have, you know, if kind of like you say, Austin, you get bit by a cosplay bug because some people will try it out or they'll maybe wear like start small with like a little fandom. They'll wear like some nerdy garb, like a t-shirt or just some cool jacket, and they'll wear one piece of the costume, like the hat, or carry around the prop or something, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. they think, I think I'll actually try piecing together a costume. And next thing you know, there's a person slaving over a sewing machine.
Before you know it, it's like 100 hours later.
Yeah.
No, like many nights of no sleep.
Meticulously piecing together a new costume.
It's awesome.
Yep. I haven't experienced that yet.
Yeah.
But one of these days.
One of these days.
One of these days, maybe. I'll get a little.
Nicole, are you studio. Working on any costumes right now?
Yeah. Right now, the one that is almost completed is Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty doing a gender bend.
I cannot express how freaking excited I am to hear you say that. That is so freaking cool.
Rick Sanchez. Really excited.
So I tell you, it's a gender bend.
Yeah, it is. It's a gender bend. And he's like, I love that character. Like, I love any character that's like kind of like a smart ass and a sarcastic asshole. So
that's awesome.
Those are always fun.
So I feel like I've missed a whole piece of culture here. I have only seen one episode of Rick and Morty.
Really?
But I'm starting to hear more and more people talk about it a lot and love it a lot.
It's amazing to me the depth to which a dick and fart joke can go in this show.
Wait, you mean like not like in oh, there we go. There's some other Rick and Mortys. Not like in South Park. Like South Park takes it pretty far. They're pretty good at that. But I guess this one's even
Rick,
more
well,
so.
Rick and Morty's getting there.
Wow. I have to watch it.
I can't get into it. I
tried. It was interesting.
I tried. I really did.
The first two episodes, I was like, this is kind of weird. But as you watch more and more, it's like yeah. you kind of start to understand the show a little bit better. And that's how it was for me, at least. And you're not the first person I know to say this, since I have a friend. And he's like, I can't for the life of me get into the show. I was like, you have to kind of like give it a little more time.
Yeah.
The first episode, you're just like, what?
Yeah, I guess I should start from the beginning. I think I pulled up season four or whatever season.
What?
I don't know. I just thought I could get into it. I thought it'd be funny. Like, you know, you pull up South Park, and I think any episode you watch is just like,
The reason I say no is because Rick and Morty is one of those shows where they actually kind of go along with a nice bit of continuity.
Oh, do they?
That's yeah.
Nice. Oh, man.
Start from the beginning, man.
It's not like Adventure Time. You just jump on it.
No.
You got to stick the seeds way up inside your butthole, Morty.
Sorry. I just couldn't help it. I had to say it. I had to.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
I know. I just derailed everything. My fault.
How do we come back from that?
Back to cosplay stuff. Yeah. Aside from Rick and Morty, what are some other ideas you have for future costumes? Possibly.
Well, I will tell you this. There's at least one Harley Quinn. Or a few, or several, in the future.
Or several,
nice.
Awesome.
And I want to do Harley Quinzel too, not just Harley Quinn. So like, I want to do like a whole branch of them actually.
That'd be cool.
That's really? To me, that's awesome. I love seeing people who will do all the different varieties of Harley Quinn. I love seeing Dr. Harleen Quinzel. I love seeing the you know, your standard Batman animated series Harley. I think they're freaking great. So, I mean, to hear, you know, did you want to run the gambit? That's, to me, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Willing just to take that depth into it.
Yeah, she's an awesome character. And you know what? I was completely against doing the Suicide Squad Harley Quinn until I actually saw the movie, too. But now seeing the movie, I liked her in the movie. So I was like, okay, I want to do this now.
Yeah.
Now, big question for you. Did you like the movie?
Okay. I did like the movie.
Yes.
Was it the greatest movie ever? No. But I did like the movie. And yeah.
Yeah, it's
I mean, for what it was. I think they nailed the Harley Quinn and Joker dynamic, which I think if you didn't get that, it would have been
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, the thing is a lot of people have a problem with how this Joker was, but there are several different versions of Joker, and like, I guess if you're not too familiar with all the different series that, in the comics, like, yeah. You're going to be like, what the fuck? can we curse here?
Go for it.
But shit, damn.
Fuck no, we can't curse here. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but, we won't filter it. The dynamic was there, but it kind of wasn't. Also, I think because it wasn't rated R, because there was, you know, the controversy about like, okay, you know, the abusiveness is like a really big part of their relationship, and it made it look like they're like super lovey-dovey with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's true, but if you watch like interviews and things like that, like a lot of that was filmed and taken out.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet myself, but I've basically heard that the Joker really didn't even need to be in there. No. Like for what was like his portion in the movie, it didn't have any major impact.
Well, I think it was Joker's nice.
Not a part of Suicide Squad.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I was kind of curious about. You actually bring up a really great point because I didn't know why he was in the first place. If it's a Suicide Squad, just leave him out of it. Let Harley do her thing. This is her time to shine.
I think it's part of her background story. And I mean, if you're going to have her background with the Joker in there, I mean, you might as well just throw him in the movie.
Yeah,
he does show up in the Suicide Squad a couple of times, though. So, I mean, it's not too far-fetched.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, is like, if you put the Joker in there, you're going to pull in an audience just because you have the Joker in there.
Oh, yeah.
And people are going to come see the show. I mean, not that that's like the only reason, but
it's actually their relationship, because you kind of like, when you think about one, you think about the other, like you don't really like separate the two of them. Like they're kind of like almost one.
Yeah. That's
character
true.
Almost like that's his sidekick. Like from the animated series, like she's known as his sidekick. Like,
it's like
always.
The Batman and Robin. The Joker and Harley Quinn. Okay.
She didn't really stand out on her own until like way later.
I gotcha. I'll see it. I want to see it. Like I feel bad I've neglected that and Batman versus Superman now, so I probably should go back and watch both of those movies and incorporate them. Anyway, so back on track to some cosplay stuff. You've made several costumes. I was gonna talk about what they are, but I feel like you can go on your Instagram and find out what you've done in the past. But which costume did you put together that was the most challenging? Like, what was the hardest to come up with, create, all that stuff?
You know what? This is going to be kind of funny. It's not actually the ones that I've made.
Oh, really?
That was the hardest. It was the one that I didn't make that gave me the most grief.
Really?
Yeah, because there was a whole ordeal with it, and it was Zero Suit Samus. Okay, Zero Suit Samus, I did make part of the costume. I didn't make the bodysuit, and the gun that I'm going to use, the paralyzer, is not the one that I made.
Yeah.
But I made the jet boots, which
nice.
Are awesome. Everyone loves those things. And
that costume like is solid.
Thank you. It's like their favorite thing out of the whole costume. I was like, yes, it's the part
that's
that I made.
I did. That's
but
awesome.
All of the waiting and the back and forth, like with the person that was like getting me the suit or whatever, it was like a really big headache. Like it just like it taught me a very big lesson, though. Like, don't depend on anybody else.
Yeah.
Especially if you have like a timetable you're working with and you're expecting like things to go a certain way and they completely don't.
That's the best part of any art form is that crunch time, and it's just like, well, I hope this works, and usually I think it ends up pretty good.
There was a couple times I was sitting there worrying about my Joker jacket, and I was like, it just needs to please work. Please look okay. Don't make me look like a hobo. Yeah. Okay,
I'll
nice.
Tell you what, with Zero Suit Samus 2, because the gun was promised to me at a certain time and it wasn't given to me because I had a friend that was like, oh yeah, I'll make it for you. I was like, really? Because I have no idea how to make this, because to me, I'm still a noob at cosplaying. If you look at all of my cosplays, they've been pretty simple, and not all of them have to be sewn. Like some of them, like my Black Canary, I just put together, like I bought all of the pieces, like, cause that is something that you can just buy and it looks good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, my cosplays are like fairly simple because like the way my approach on it is like, you know, I'm going to do this little by little and get, you know, I guess more advanced or try new things as I go along. Cause I don't, you know, want to make a piece of crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to actually have something of good quality out there?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to put something out that's like, not nice.
Well, you know, that's something about the people that you see at some of these, you know, conventions who cosplay. You know, some people will just they're going to throw colored duct tape on a bunch of cardboard and slap it on themselves. And well, you know, while that's fine for them, you know, they put effort into it and they're still showing love to their fandom. You know, there's something to be said for those for cosplayers who are saying, no, I'm going to make myself look like I stepped off the screen.
Yep.
And yeah. into this convention.
You know, at the end of the day, cosplay is all about having fun, and it is, it's kind of like to each his own. So, like, it's whatever you're okay with for yourself.
Right.
Like, I have no problem with anybody else's cosplay because, you know, I get it. It's like what you love and you want to do it. And, you know, not everyone has the best skill set. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I most certainly do not.
Yeah, I'm one of those people too. But, you know, I try to work within my limitations, and I try to expand that with each and every cosplay that I do. I'm like, okay, well, what can I do to advance my skills a little bit more? Like, that's the type of person I am, like, in general too. Like, that's how I am in my professional field outside of cosplay too. Like, my profession is based on, like, services, and, like, there are layers to it. So, like, I kind of, like, try to take one thing at a time and, like, really perfect it before I move on to the next thing.
Nice.
Awesome. So kind of on that note a little bit, what are some, like, common misconceptions that you found people have about cosplaying as you've been doing it for, you know, a couple years now?
Okay. Outside of the community, I guess older people are like, dressing up is for little kids, you know?
Yes, I hear that a lot.
Inside the community, like, I feel like there are certain people that, like, feel like you have to make your costume. Like, you can't buy it. You're not a cosplayer if you buy your costume.
What was I talking about?
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry. We were just talking about this earlier, about these, they're called gatekeepers, these people who say, well, if you don't do this, you're not a true fan of this. And that exact argument to me is bullshit about anyone who says, well, if you don't make your costume, it's not real cosplay. Shut the fuck up. I put just as much time in this as you did.
I mean, I bought all my stuff for my first cosplay.
It's even more expensive if you're not the one making it, too. Exactly. Like, it's a lot of money.
Okay. Yeah. It's either, do you want to spend a lot of money or do you want to spend a lot of time? Either way, you're going to be spending a lot of something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people lose sight of, like, what it's about. Cosplaying is about having fun. It's about having fun. Correct. And, like, paying homage to, like, a fandom. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Or even, like, just being somebody else for a day. It's kind of cool just jump into the shoes of another character and be another. I mean, that's why people act is they like the idea of, like, jumping into a character and, like, being this person. You're somebody who isn't you. And it's
why I like playing Dungeons and Dragons and being a dungeon master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of which, Nicole, have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons?
I've watched people play, but I haven't actually, like, participated in a game.
Right. Yeah, we never played it until we got this Devin guy on this podcast. He exposed us to
it. I opened their eyes.
And it's like, it's way more awesome than I thought it was going to be. We should, like, cosplay while we're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh my God.
That's really bad. Oh, Laura Bush said she did that.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. She did say that. That's
is it
awesome.
Weird that your name has D&D in it? Devin
Deary. Oh, I never even thought about that.
Let's not go into it. Let's keep asking her questions. We don't have to talk about my nerdy shit.
So, of all the costumes you put together, which one is giving you the most recognition, you think, or the most, like, you know, increase in fans or anything like that?
Oh, that's easy. That's also Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah.
It looks nice. Pretty sweet.
Well, I got to tell you, we've been scrolling through the Instagram, just, like, you know, looking at the the different costumes. And I got to say, like, being a huge fan of Metroid and the whole Metroid franchise, really, that Zero Suit is solid.
Thank you. I try.
Well, you can tell.
I like that one picture of you with the in your Mario outfit, and you're there with the
Wario.
What their name
it's
is.
Wario.
Yeah, well, the Wario guy, but they had that couple that they always dress up Mario characters, like the Mario characters that are it's like a heart. They have, like, guns and stuff with them.
Yeah, it's like
a husband and wife team.
Battle hardened Luigi and Mario, like, or something.
I don't know.
I think are they the post apocalyptic one?
Yes.
Yeah, basically. The yeah, they were at PAX, but the picture you have up here is they look like Wario. They were somewhere else, but I think that's the same guy.
It's one of the guys. There's three of them.
Yeah.
I can't remember right now.
It's all good.
He had some awesome cosplay at PAX South.
That was at PAX South.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're also Emma Frost there as well.
Yeah, I was really sad that we only saw you on the day of Emma Frost because I didn't realize you did that other costume that day.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we had seen that one too.
My pinup Super Mario is usually, like, I usually wear that one on Fridays to conventions. I don't know why it's become my Friday one, but
yeah,
it has been. Because cool. I haven't done that many. Like, I've lately been going to more gaming conventions than comic conventions.
Nice.
So I don't have a lot of gaming cosplays, which I have to fix that. There are a lot of gaming ones that I want to eventually get to, but those tend to be a little more elaborate. So, you know.
Oh, well, yeah.
On the con subject, what are some of your favorite cons you've been to?
Well, this year it's been probably PAX East. It has been my favorite.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, okay. I haven't gone to any PAX until this year. So I went to South, where I met you guys, and East. So that's been pretty awesome. Because prior to this year, I've been going to mostly like South Florida conventions, which is like SuperCon and Animate Miami and Magic City Comic Con, which they're Comic Cons, and Animate is, you know, animation and anime. So it was really awesome to see the difference between a gaming convention and a Comic Con, which gaming conventions are like pretty elaborate. Like, these companies put a lot of monies into their booth.
Yeah, PAX was eye opening for us when we went this year. It was just like, what? PAX South.
Yeah, and that's the smallest one out of all the PAX.
Yeah. I can't wait to check out the bigger ones next year, because
you're gonna
experience.
Love it.
Yeah, we're going.
I will tell you one thing about South. I was a little disappointed that not a lot of people were cosplaying there. Like, there was barely really? Any cosplays.
Oh, I thought there was a bunch of cosplay.
Oh, no.
Well, okay.
No.
Well, I did go to WonderCon this year, so compared to that,
I was going
to
say, looking at WonderCon compared to PAX South was crazy different. But
I was surrounded by cosplay.
That's like when we went to...
I do love seeing all these new conventions that have started popping up, and there's literally one for all the different fandoms now, and that's so awesome to me.
Yeah.
The community is growing, like, rapidly. I think it because of all of these, like, comic book movies and stuff like that, like, especially, like, the Marvel's blown up since, like, Disney has been producing all of these movies, and people are getting more into it.
It's nice to see. It's nice to see the nerd culture finally in the spotlight,
right?
Yeah.
All the years of ridicule and bashing.
I know. Well, you know, it's the cool thing.
It's finally paid off.
Yeah.
Being a nerd is the cool thing.
I'm finally a cool kid.
Yeah.
It happened. It happened, Mom.
I mean, when you go around playing Pokemon Go and people are like, "Oh yeah, Pokemon Go," like,
everybody.
And you don't feel ashamed. I mean, I don't feel ashamed, but. You don't have to listen to people like, what are you doing? There's that guy over there.
And there's still those random people that will like give you shit, but I'm like, yeah, sorry, dude. You're the minority.
Yeah,
you need to keep up with this.
There are literally millions of people doing this right now.
So is there?
But if you pulled out Pokemon cards and tried to play the card game, people would be like, what are you doing?
That's true.
That's too far.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, I didn't know we were doing this. Yeah, we're throwing down right now, son.
Wrong one.
So before we move on to talk about some video game stuff, is there anybody in the cosplay geek nerd world that I guess mainly cosplay that you look to for inspiration, or that kind of like an idol of any kind?
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't really consider myself having any like real idol. I don't really idolize anybody, but there are people I admire, and it's gonna be like, the generic answers for this, it's going to be Yaya Han and Jessica Negri. Like, they're so huge in the community. And, like, I admire Jessica because, like, if you see her costumes in the beginning and what they look like now, it's amazing, the transformation. I want to do Zangoose cosplay. from Pokemon because that's my favorite. I love Zangoose. So I was like researching. I was like, let me get some ideas. So I went on Google and I Googled, you know, images, and one of hers popped up, and this is like, I'm sure it's before her Pikachu, or I don't know, maybe after. And I was like, wow, this is like really, really bad. And I was like, you know what? She's come such a long way, and I admire the shit out of that.
See, I'm the noob when it comes to Pokemon, so I have to, like, anytime anyone says a Pokemon name, I have to immediately go and look up what that looks like. Oh, yeah, that looks pretty cool.
You see, it's a David Bowie looking one.
Nice. Okay.
He's a David Bowie looking one,
yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know. He's like such a little badass. I love him. He always has like this mean little look on his face, like when you use him. He means business, and I like that he has a rival.
Really?
What's his rival?
Sivipor.
Okay.
After the
first generation Pokemon, and that's it. Like, after that, it's just, there's so many that
I know a little bit from two.
Those two are from the first gen, I think.
I don't think Zangoose is.
Maybe from the second. Maybe from second generation.
I don't know. It was kind of cool to see like the difference, like from when she started to like how her costumes are now. And then Yaya Han is just like amazing at crafting. Anything that she does looks perfect. So
yeah,
and she's been doing it for a very long time, and since before it was even a popular thing to do. So that's like something you really have to admire.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow, she's really good.
God, the detail these people do is astounding.
Awesome. So let's transition from some cosplay and let's talk about some video games, because those are always cool. So you're a big retro gamer. You like playing retro games. What got you into retro gaming?
I was kind of like born into it, okay. I guess.
Well,
maybe it's nostalgia. It's like what I grew up on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can't even tell you like the first time I played a video game, because that's probably how young I was.
Yeah.
Same.
On my mother's side of my family, everybody plays video games, even my grandparents.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, my grandmother and grandfather like have a PlayStation and a Super Nintendo like in their bedroom.
Wow.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
My family.
In my house in New Jersey, like, that's like where everybody is.
Yeah.
Or whatever. There's like at least two systems in probably every room, like, and computers too.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
My dad played Nintendo 64 one game with me back in the day, Wave Race. That was the only thing he would ever touch. And then from that point on, he never played. My mom plays Farmville. That's cool.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
I know, right? Oh. Or she used to play Farmville.
Everyone was obsessed with that game for a minute on Facebook.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
Yep.
Wow. That's so cool.
It's pretty crazy.
All right, so as far as retro games go, do you got any favorites?
Oh yeah. I mean, I love the whole Final Fantasy like franchise. Oh
man, this is awesome.
And Chrono Trigger is like,
oh, gross, God. My nostalgic heart is like just beating so fast right now, because I remember when I first heard that they were re-releasing Chrono Trigger on the DS, and I was like, ass I'm buying that.
I have it. I bought it, and I haven't even played it on my DS yet.
Oh, my God. When it was announced, I was still working at GameStop at the time. I was like, subtract the money from my paycheck and just let me take this shit home, because I'm doing this money. Now. Take my money now.
Yeah. It's such a good game.
Oh, it's a great game.
I love RPGs, like especially like those old turn-based RPGs. Those are my favorite.
I miss the turn-based RPG. I can't even tell you how bad.
That's why South Park exists.
A Link to the Past is another big one for me.
It's one of my absolute favorite Link games, Legend of Zelda games. Is a Link to the Past.
I feel bad because I could not get into these turn-based RPGs. The way I got into gaming was just completely different.
Did you dive in at Xbox or PlayStation or PS2? Well,
I started with like officially Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay.
Tomb Raider 2, I think. And so from that point, I was like, oh, look, I can move around and stuff. And then when I... What was that?
The second one is how you got into gaming. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, I guess technically I started with like Genesis stuff and all that. But I mean, to like really defining moment was like Tomb Raider. My dad brought home a PlayStation one Christmas and me and him just played that for like 2 weeks straight.
Oh, at least your dad played with you. Like,
oh, yeah.
My mom got a PlayStation for my brother and I, and was like, here, this is for you guys, you know? And then, you know, she completely like took it over and like, no, I bought the TV. You cannot play it until I beat it because you're going to erase my memory card.
I didn't even have a memory card. Me and my dad had to leave it on for like,
oh my God.
And then we got so far in the game and my mom turned it off. She's like, I had to turn it off. It can't stay on all the time. I was like, Mom, you erased everything.
You ruined it.
So we had to go back.
Oh my God. We used to get into such bad fights. So we had that like mega memory card where it had like 100 something slots and you had to go through different folders and there's only two buttons on the memory card.
Oh my gosh.
So it's very loose. Like you might not even erase it. You could just lose it. Like we would get into so many fights. Like my little brother, me and my mom would be like at each other's throats over this, like, you erased my game. No, you erased my game. I have to start all over. I was almost especially like with something that has like four discs, you know, like
Oh my God.
Oh, that's yeah. That's
you'd feel so accomplished when you find like insert disc two. Damn right, insert disc two.
It's only been Nailed 3 weeks.
It happened a lot with I think Final Fantasy 7 and 8 and Resident Evil.
Oh yeah, I forgot Resident Evil did that one.
Man. Good games.
Yeah. Oh my God. They're some of my those are my favorites too from like PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And like Crash Bandicoot. I used to love playing Crash Bandicoot.
Oh man. I used to play Spyro.
I can say I played some Crash Bandicoot. That's one I played. It was awesome.
Yeah.
What else on the PlayStation? Oh, there was this really do you remember it's like I think it was called Clock Tower. It was another like horror one which
that sounds
like,
familiar.
That one scared the shit out of me. Like, evil is supposed to scare you, and it kind of did, like, as a little kid. Like, maybe I wasn't old enough to, like, be seeing that, but whatever. Like, it was awesome, but Clock Tower scared the shit out of me. I think that's the name of it. Like, this
point was jumping out. Was it a point-and-click game?
I can't really remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I see.
It's almost like Resident Evil, and it was they had like little like puzzle things that you had to do like Resident Evil. If
it was
I remember,
creepy as hell.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. We're looking it up right now. There was a Clock Tower 1, Clock Tower 2, Clock Tower the First Fear.
My gosh.
And then you know, classic mother, like she would get stuck somewhere and like I can't finish this. I'm taking it back and buying something else. I'm like, what? Quitter.
Oh, Twisted Metal is one I liked a lot.
Yeah,
oh, Twisted Metal, that was fun. I played a lot of that.
Ice cream truck and the little car.
Yeah.
Ice truck because of that laugh. It was like, or whatever.
Oh, God, I used to get so annoyed by that damn laugh.
That's awesome. PlayStation. Gosh, there's so many.
Spyro was another
so many
one I
old
played.
Games. Spyro was awesome. I played a lot of Rampage. Not Dino that that was Crisis. A hardcore game, but Rampage was awesome.
Do you have any game you're playing right now, retro style, or?
No. I mean, I have Pokemon in my DS. That's what I have. Gotcha. But I've been playing more on the computer, getting into more PC gaming.
PC Master Race.
All right.
So you've been playing some Overwatch, right?
Yeah, I haven't played in a couple of weeks, but I was when it first like was released, I was playing a lot, and that was like the first, I guess, first person shooter type of game that I've actually like played more than 5 minutes. I just get frustrated and say, "Oh, I suck at this. I'm not playing."
Yeah. Overwatch is a good one. It's a good entry point into the world of first person shooters. I think.
I still hate them.
It can be, but if you're not playing constantly,
you can
get a little much.
Listen, I suck at that. That's like another reason why I like retro.
Oh no!
Oh well,
wait. technical difficulties. Sorry.
Right, sorry about that.
We're on my iPad doing this, and my parents, unfortunately, were trying to call me. I'm going to turn this off so they can't.
Wow, your parents ruined everything.
They always ruin
things.
Wait, can you do that?
I hope so. I'm trying to put on Do Not Disturb. It should shut off phone calls on here, so we'll see what happens. But
well, I think it can still come through. You just won't hear it.
Yeah, it shouldn't mess that up though. We'll see. Cool. Anyway.
All right.
So, yeah. So, games, awesome, good stuff. Let's talk about the let's go to your podcast a little bit. You started a podcast.
Yeah.
That's
three
awesome.
Episodes so far. Yeah. Thanks.
How did that come about? What inspired you to start a podcast?
I just had a random idea. I was like, yeah, let me try this out. And I was like, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? It's a good idea because I really only have my social media platforms to communicate with my following, and you can't really like say, like, especially Instagram. Instagram is my biggest one, and you can't really like say too much. It's mostly like pictures. You can now more with stories, and I'm really trying to make an effort to like make little videos to say little things here and there, you know, so people can get to know me, which I hate being in front of a camera, to be honest with you. So
really,
I mean, you know, it's me I'm too. Trying to get out of my I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone, and you know, experience and do new things, and the podcast was one of them because I also don't like the sound of my own voice. I don't think anyone does. So
no,
yeah, I think everyone hates.
We all pretty much despise everything that we say. Yeah, pretty much. It's fair.
So that's it. That's, you know, one of the main reasons to put a voice to the face, I guess. I don't know.
Awesome.
Yeah. So tell us about your following. Listen to your first podcast, and you had a lot of questions.
Yeah, I have pretty cool followers. They're very, like, everyone that follows me on social media, they're all very supportive, and we interact a lot. I'm not one of those people that like does not answer. I answer to everybody that says something on you know, my posts.
That's really good to hear, because it's so interesting to me, because again, talking about the quote unquote gatekeepers out there for people who are like, I do this cosplay thing, but you are not worthy to talk to me about this, and I'm not going to answer your stupid little questions, you pervert. Which I'm sure there's perverts out there.
I know somebody like that.
But still, I mean, it's good to see, you know, to me, a community of people willing to interact. You know, if you're a popular cosplayer, to be able to interact with your fan base and still, you know, maintain that cool relationship.
People have said that, like, to me, because I do, like, people will DM me, and as long as it's appropriate and not inappropriate, I will answer you. And people are like, wow, you actually answered. I was like, yeah. Of course I'm going to answer.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be a dick.
They're surprised by that. I'm not full of myself. I'm not too good to talk to anybody. Like, I just, you know, I think it's kind of rude. Not like somebody took the time out of their day to like say something nice to you or talk to you, and you're not going to respond. Like, I have to respond. Yeah. You know, I feel like it's like kind of like smacking them in the face if I don't. Like, they took their time.
That's refreshing to hear.
You know, mm-hmm. You know.
Seriously, that's very refreshing to hear. So good on you.
People don't have to go out of their way to say something nice to you.
Yeah. So, how many messages do you typically get? I mean, you get a pretty good influx. I mean, you have 12,000 followers on Instagram, so that's quite a few people. How often do you get messaged?
It's different every day. Yeah. I guess, I mean, like, if I like now I'll get like a lot of messages like when I post stories on Instagram, or it depends on like the picture I post, or if it's like on my Facebook, like if I post a video or whatever or something. It depends.
Yeah.
It really depends on what I'm posting, on like what content people are seeing, I guess.
What do you think it was that had you increase the growth so much for your Instagram page? Like, was there a point in time where you did something or went to a con or something happened where you saw like a very clear jump in followers?
Yeah. I mean, there are two things. I did like a t-shirt challenge, like to post a picture of like my shirt collection, like one every day for a month. And that like grew my following, which I was like pretty surprised. Like people love t-shirts apparently, like fandom t-shirts, not just regular like plain t-shirts or whatever. They have like, you know, Star Wars, anime, all that stuff. Like people like to see that. And then my Zero Suit Samus cosplay grew my following as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. So let's see, there's,
you got a lot of cosplays.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I have that many. It doesn't feel like it to me, but I always forget like half of them. I'm like, oh yeah, I did this.
Yeah, oh, I forgot I dressed up like that.
So where do you see your podcast going in the future? Do you have any cool ideas or things you want to do with it, or how do you want to grow that?
Well, right now it's just me. I would like to have more people on and more interactions, because it's kind of like really hard to talk to yourself for like an hour. But yeah, so I want to, like, right now it's just like kind of like about me and getting to know me, like, so like the following that I already have, like they can get to know me better. But I would like to go and do, I don't know, more reviews, and just, it's just like, it's randomness. Like I don't feel, I'm not like trying to like push it in any one direction, because it's called, you know, Find Nicole Here. So it really is like about me and my opinions and things like that and what I'm into. And it's not just like all nerd related. Like I don't want it to be just about that. It's just going to be like a general thing and what I'm interested in, I guess. I don't know if people really care about that or not, but oh well.
Yeah, see what happens. And,
yeah.
Well, I have a question about your followers. Was this your plan all along to kind of go out and, you know, try to become something, or it just kind of happened overnight or something like that?
No, I mean I don't know, I guess it happened organically. Like, you know, I started going to conventions and dressing up, and then people were like, oh, you know, love what you do. I'm like, thanks, I don't really know what I'm doing, but cool. You know? And I you know, people are like, well, you know, what's your Instagram, what's this, what's that? And then I was like, okay, maybe I'll just do it. I mean, it's all for fun right now. It's just like a hobby. People are like, do you do this professionally? I was like, I mean, no.
I do now, I guess.
But I mean, it would be nice.
Yeah.
To do it, I guess, quote unquote, professionally. I mean, there's only like a couple of cosplayers that are really professional, I guess, cosplayers or challenge, which is what FAMP. Jessica Negri, Yaya Han, but Yaya Han has like an actual business attached to what she does.
Yeah.
And there are a couple others too, but like you really can't, I don't think you really make a living off of it until you're like at that level, you right. know?
Yeah. But it's just cool to see that, like, even with Twitch and YouTube, that like being nerdy can be your career just by being nerdy.
Yeah,
that blows my mind.
Never thought I'd be paid to be such a nerd.
I am going to eventually, like when I get the right equipment to try and start streaming on Twitch. I don't know if anybody's going to be interested in watching me play video games.
Oh, they'll totally. Yeah, they'll eat it up. They'll eat it up. Seriously, they will
totally
eat it up.
You totally should. Like, that is that's more viable an option now than it ever has been. So,
you know, I really didn't think, honestly, like, you know, to kind of put your hesitancies at ease, us ourselves, like, I was really nervous about streaming our D&D sessions, but we've done 4 episodes now, and we've had, you know, a considerable amount of people come and join us in the room and watch us and, like, leave really positive notes and everything. I mean, it's been great. Well,
that's what's awesome too, because, you know, like, that's what, like, why I keep doing this is because I get like such positive feedback from everybody, and everybody is like so supportive. It's like very rare that I get anything negative said to me. It sometimes I do, like, I have like a stigma. They're like, you look good, so you're not a real nerd, you're just doing this for attention.
Oh, that I'm
like,
pisses me off.
I mean,
oh,
there
that
are
pisses
those
me
ones
off
out
so
there.
Bad.
I'm like, I'm sorry, do you know who I am? Do you stalk me? you stalk my everyday life, you know what I do? It's like, no. And you know what? Most of the time it's like Star Wars fans. I'm like,
we are the worst. No,
damn,
that's fair.
Star Wars fans.
Shut the fuck up, Brett.
I'm like I've been like I probably seen Star Wars before you were born, child. You
know, like, I will school you, son.
Why does it have to be like that for you? Like,
I feel like there's just such this weird, kind of like you said, this stigma of this idea that these, you know, these people, a part of this nerd culture, have suffered, you know, either they were made fun of or bullied or something like that. And they feel like because of it, everyone now getting into it, they feel like they have this ownership over it.
Yeah.
And rather than being welcoming and being like, you know what, this community is awesome. Here, let me show you all this cool stuff with it, or let's share in our mutual love of it. But instead, it's you don't deserve it.
Well, I mean, people take themselves way too seriously. But I mean, I can understand why, because there are girls that just do it for attention or for money or whatever. There are those girls.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them. I don't do anything unless I like it. Like I told you guys before, I seen Suicide Squad, like doing the Suicide Squad Harley was like out of the question for me. Like, I didn't even like the costume. I was like, eh. But I saw it, and because I like the character, I now like the costume.
Yeah.
That's just how I work, I guess. But yeah. Now I want to do it. But I didn't jump on that, like, oh, because she's a popular character and it's like what's in right now, I'm going to do this. I don't do anything unless I like it.
That's how it should be.
Exactly.
That's really how it should be.
But back to the whole thing about, you know, nerds thinking that, you know, it's theirs, you know, for
like the ownership of
it. Yeah. Like, I mean, it makes sense in the sense that, you know, you got those, I guess, red badge of courage where it's like, you know, I've been picked on, you know, like I've lived up to this.
I feel like
I've taken the lashes and I've taken the beating and this is mine. Like I deserve this, you know, type of thing.
I was never picked on. Anyways.
Okay.
Go ahead. Touch his weenus.
Wait, what? No. Anyway, so let's change the subject a little bit here. I want to talk a little bit about health and fitness, because you obviously take good care of your body and everything. What, being in this culture and in video games and stuff like that, I mean, we sit down playing games like all day long, and if we're like watching nerdy shows, we're sitting down, like all this stuff. Like, what
eat
advice?
Kit Kats for breakfast.
Yeah.
That's Devin horrible.
Just brought us Kit Kats. What advice do you have for people that you know, want to maintain good health while also like staying in to all this culture?
Well, that's kind of what my next podcast is about. It's going to be about like my experience with like working out and fitness and health and whatever. Well, for gamers, it actually improves like cognitive function and brain power, like to work out. So you will be better at playing video games if you actually are more
that's
physically
a good
active.
Way to put it. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's why you suck at Overwatch, Brett. You haven't been doing enough cardio.
I Bam. Do plenty of cardio, bro.
Bro.
Gosh.
I'm sorry. I just have to keep giving him shit.
I do cardio. I just don't sleep enough. That's my problem.
Oh, amen to that.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone sleeps enough anymore.
I know. It's awful.
Definitely don't.
It's 2016. Sleep is for the weak.
No.
I'm so tired.
I know. I like run on Red Bull now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's bad for you. Red Bull is so bad for you. So what I would say is just try to be more active. My advice is like, a lot of people like get into like trying to be healthier and working out, and they have like a goal of like looking a certain way in like next month or like in 2 weeks. It's like ridiculous goals. Like, you're never going to stay doing it. And like, what I would say is try to make it a part of your lifestyle and start small. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I started small. I didn't even set goals for myself in the beginning besides like actually making it physically in the gym at least 2 days a week when I started.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even have to do anything. It's like my goal is like, okay, I'm here.
That's
that
good.
That's
yeah.
easy goal. Like, that's really smart.
No,
honestly.
Like, getting to the gym is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Like, it is the hardest part, because once you're there, you're going to do something.
I'm going to make it worth my while if I drove all the way here to this stupid gym.
Yeah.
So you, when we were talking on our interview, you were running on the treadmill. Do you do any outside running or anything like that? Or do you mainly, like, where do you spend most time doing your cardio? Because I hate cardio.
Well, I hate cardio too, so I try to avoid doing it as much as possible.
Yeah. We're in the same boat.
Don't try to avoid doing it as much as possible.
Abs and cardio are like my least favorite thing to do.
I hate abs too.
Yeah,
they're the worst. I love abs.
I hate those two things, but I've run into people that love doing ab workouts. I'm like, you're crazy.
So yeah, I love cardio. Yeah, I love so running. Much.
Yeah, you're either, I think it's like the
love
the
hate
type you are. You either like it or you don't. Yeah. I hate it, but like for my particular goals for myself, like I don't really need to do like a lot of cardio. I mean, I should because it's great for your heart and it's good for stamina.
Right.
But yeah, I do like sometimes I don't really like run outside of like the gym, like off of the treadmill, but I do go for walks around the neighborhood and stuff on like nice days.
Yeah.
So that'll be sometimes. But mostly like my working out is like inside of the gym. I do most of my days it's weight training and not cardio.
How long does an average workout take for you?
It depends on what I'm doing. Like okay. If it's arms, it could be like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Leg day is like get up to like 2 hours.
Dang. Ugh.
I can barely go there for an hour. After 4 or 5 minutes, I'm like, I can't even stand.
You know that meme, don't skip leg day?
Yeah.
Nicole doesn't skip leg day.
Yeah. guys tend to do that. It's like a primary girl like goal to like work out your legs. It's
for 2 hours.
Well, yeah.
2 hours.
So there's like a whole like thing that, you know, you're not supposed to just go and jump into the weights. Like, so I do like 10 to 15 minutes of cardio when I get there. And then stretching is like super important. And then I take, probably in between my sets, I do, 4 sets for each workout. A lot of people do 3. I do 4. And it's a minute and a half in between the sets because I do heavy weightlifting.
Okay.
So, and I take my time. And I also stretch. Like, even though I do, like, maybe 30 minutes of stretching before I get into weights, I'm also stretching in between my sets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need a stretch, and I'll stretch here and there, but as soon as I get to the gym, I'm like, all right, let's do it. I just jump right in. And
you're actually supposed to stretch for as long as you work out. Like, that's how it's
seriously?
Supposed to.
Wow.
And that's from a professional, like, standpoint as a licensed massage therapist in the state of Florida. You're supposed to stretch for as long as you work out.
Well, yeah. I am a horribly out of shape person.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to have back problems.
I stretch for like 10 minutes, and that's it. Yeah.
But, you ever see those guys that are like really huge, like gorillas, like, I can't wipe my own ass type of thing?
Yeah.
They don't stretch.
That makes sense.
Don't stretch. You limit your mobility and your range of motion if you're working out and you're not stretching.
But what does that do to your muscles? Like, I mean, is it kind of lean them out some?
What, stretching?
Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the lungs. Muscles, and you know, it also helps for muscle tension too. Like, it relieves tension on your muscles. Like, if you're stretching regularly, you'll get less muscle spasms and like knots and things like that.
That's nice.
Yeah,
I definitely need that in my back.
The back is the hardest thing to stretch.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Like, it's the most difficult thing.
I feel like I need someone to help me out every time.
Yeah, well, stretching with somebody else is like awesome. Because you have like more resistance if somebody is helping you stretch.
Reminds me. Have you heard of acro yoga?
Acro yoga? No,
I don't
think
what that is.
Okay, this is like a new thing that's getting somewhat popular in a very small community. But basically, it's like yoga, but with two people, and they say it's. A lot of people look at it and they're like, oh, that's like really like sexual kind of stuff. But it's like, they call it a sensual experience. But basically it's the act of having two people, usually a male and a female, doing things to stretch each other's bodies, relying on the other person.
That's been around for a while. I didn't know it was called that though.
Yeah. I think that's just like, I guess that's the new term that they finally like played into it, but it's really interesting. And it reminded me of that.
With yoga. that come, like trends and fads with yoga. There's so many different types of yoga and marketing, like names put onto it.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Pay me money.
Of course. So many things. So last few questions, then we'll wrap this up here. Any resources that you have for people
Before you finish this question, I have a question about workout.
Okay, go
for
it.
So for someone who has limited amount of time, I know I constantly, I'm just tired all the time due to my job and then this, and you know, a lot of people don't have an hour or 2 hours to spend at the gym.
Yes.
Can you give any advice or any tips or tricks to getting a decent workout, like at home or just, you know, running down the street for like an hour or something?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you like and what you're willing to do. Like, you know, like I was working for a little while there and I couldn't get to the gym like at all, and there are just like long periods of time where I'm by myself, so I'll be doing like, you know, a bunch of lunges or wall sits at work like a crazy person. But once you really start working out like all the time, like it's like implanted into my life now, and it really bothers me when I don't work out. So like I start doing crazy things like that. You have to make the time. It's just that you have to make the time to do it, because if you don't, you're not going to do it. Like even if it's just at home or whatever. So it's really about like, yeah, you're tired, but make the time and just do it. And if you can't get to a gym or whatever, yeah, go for a run around your neighborhood, do some cardio. If cardio is not what you're trying to do, do some like basic, exercises using your body weight, like push-ups, sit-ups, things like that. Just Google it or YouTube, because there are videos of people like that show you, oh, you can do this at home, you don't need anything, or you can use a table to do this type of exercise or whatever, you know.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah,
I know, like sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to go work out, and I just walk outside and I'm like, okay, I can do this. Plus you're already there or at the gym, you're like, I might as well, and the lethargic just kind of goes away.
That's really the hardest part, is like the mental
I gotta work.
Your mind prevents you from wanting to do it. But like every time I get there, I love it when I get there. It's just when I wake up, I'm like my hard thing is I wanna get up in the morning and I wanna run and get that taken care of ahead of time. Because I hate cardio so much. If I get it done before I go to work, that would be amazing. The hard part for me is I'm just not a morning person. I hate waking up, and it takes me like an hour and a half to get going. But once I get on the track and start like running, that goes away. And then I'm like wide awake after that. But it's just figuring out how to like tap into that mental block that keeps you from wanting to do it. It's just so tough.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. And I feel like a lot of people like put too much pressure on themselves too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's difficult. Like you have to get over that and just do it. Like before, like I had a problem working out by myself. Like I didn't want to go to the gym by myself. Like I didn't know like what all the machines were or whatever. Yeah. And like eventually I got to the point and it's like, you know what? I need to do this for me. It's not like I can't depend on anybody else. Like you just have to do it, because there's not going to always be somebody there to work out with you. Like you just have to do it. You have to jump into it.
Awesome. So any resources that you can point people to online or books or anything of that nature that could help people learn more about just health in general or fitness, workouts, all that stuff that you used in the past?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if it applies to guys, but for like females, like definitely they're like Instagram is like a huge like source of like where I get like a lot of changes in my routines for like weightlifting. There are girls that have like Instagrams like with just videos of like exercises that they do like in their routine, and they have like huge followings too.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
So I mean, like those girls are awesome. Like it's, and they look amazing too, which is even more motivating, like to see them do it and to see how they look because of what they're doing.
Right.
That, and you know, Google everything. That's what I do. I Google everything.
Google it up.
All right, I have one more quick question. We have to wrap this up, this interview here pretty soon. But what is your diet like?
Okay. I don't have, like, a particular diet. Like, I'm not a fan of, like, you have to limit yourself or cut things out. Like, I mostly what I try to do is eat, like, whole foods and organic stuff. Like, things that are not ridiculously processed because your body has a hard time breaking down that stuff.
Right.
So if you eat everything, like if you want to eat a burger, but make the burger out of like good stuff. You know what I mean? And
that's
just
awesome.
Like nothing like frozen or processed, even like that diet crap, like those meals that are pre like frozen for you that are like dieting stuff that are supposed to be healthy.
Like
those
lean,
things aren't
lean
healthy.
Cuisine.
Yeah, those things aren't
lean
good.
Cuisine.
I have so many additives and preservatives.
As in you're leaning on the wall trying not to die.
I used to try those. I was like, oh, man, so healthy. And I look at the back and look at the sodium content. I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Yeah, terrible. You know, and like I don't limit anything. Like I just try to make better choices. Yeah. Like if I'm in the mood for pizza, I'm going to eat pizza.
Heck yeah.
That's what I've really noticed about a lot of people who are healthy. It's like they don't hinder what that's like. I can only have 12 almonds a day and 4 salads. That's all I'm going to eat today.
Yeah, no, you just want to make better overall choices.
Right, right. Just be smart about what it
How
is.
How easy is that? I mean, it's harder in practice,
once you get it, like it's all about lifestyle and like pretty much infusing and injecting it into your lifestyle. Like once you're already there and you're doing it, you're making better choices. Like it helps if you know how to cook. And like some people that are extreme, like with their bodies and working out, they're like, no season, no flavor. I'm like, ugh. Like,
to hell with you, sir.
No, I want to throw some flavor in there.
Don't do that to yourself. Like you're torturing yourself. And diets don't work because of that. Because
I am putting paprika on this chicken and you cannot stop me.
And spices are actually very good for you. They have like a lot of health benefits too.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're putting. Like don't go put a chock load of like iodized salt on your food. Like
that just sounds awful.
Yeah, like that's really bad. But I mean, using, you know, I use the Himalayan pink sea salt whatever.
I use that
that's
too.
That's good. That's good for you. I mean, don't overdo it because salt is still salt.
Oh dang it! No. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, there's just a lot of easy. I got on the organic train, like 2-3 years ago, and I tried to get my parents to switch over because they were drinking, you know, diet sodas and all this other crap. I was like, you guys
that's so much. That's the worst.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I'm doing good.
Regular soda.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. My dad was literally addicted to diet soda. It was Diet RC.
I can't do it.
Splenda in it.
It tastes awful.
Ew.
Splenda is the worst.
It took a year, but they finally got off, and they're like, oh, thank you. Like, we feel so much better.
Have you ever noticed, like, if you used to drink soda a lot, and you stopped drinking it for a long time, and you go back and taste it, it tastes, like, disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. Like, I can remember times when I've quit. I've gone, like, I'm gonna treat myself and have a Dr. Pepper. Then I drink, and I'm like, what is this poison? What is this?
Yeah. I mean, if you add a little alcohol in there, you can't even taste it.
That's true. Put a little whiskey on top. It's just fine.
Anyway, all right, so let's we'll wrap this up here. Where can people find you online? Let's hear all about it.
Okay, well, all my social media platforms, it's all the same. It's Find Nicole Here, all one word, no spaces, no nothing. And my name is Nicole, there's no H. So that's on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. That's my username, and then my Facebook is Facebook.com/NicoleWintersCosplay.
Awesome.
Cool.
Cool. Nicole, it's been a pleasure to have you on here.
Seriously, this has been great.
Really good. We've had some really cool, interesting conversations that we don't typically have, so I like that.
It's awesome talking to other people on a podcast instead of just myself in a closet.
Yeah.
Kind of helps when you have someone else there to bounce some ideas off of. Oh,
Yes, definitely.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, and we'll definitely keep in touch, and everybody out there listening, make sure you check out Nicole. She's got some awesome stuff to share, and check out her podcast. It's really good, and I'm excited to see what you have coming up next with the podcast.
Thank you.
Is it on iTunes and SoundCloud or what podcast?
No, it's not on SoundCloud. I have Lisbon is my host, and it's on iTunes too. Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm working on it right now, my podcast, so it's on hiatus until I reformat it to like something that makes sense. Because awesome. I kind of right now, my first three is just me randomly saying things and rambling. Like I'm like, I don't even make any sense. That's okay.
Yeah, those first few, you're always like, oh, is this good? Like, I don't like it.
It's a learning experience for sure. But once you get into it, it's just it'll start clicking. You'll start buying stuff. And you'll be like, oh man, now I got to upgrade this equipment because it's not good enough anymore.
Got to buy new everything.
It's crazy. But anyway, awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on. We really appreciate it. And well, until next time, have a good one. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks for having me. Bye, everybody.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
All right, everybody. That wraps up our show this week. Thank you again to Nicole Winters for coming on and being on the podcast, talking about all kinds of cool stuff with video games and cosplay and fitness.
Be sure to check out all of her social channels as well.
Be sure and check her out on all of our social channels as well. In the show notes.
You just repeat me.
If you have any questions or concerns about Devin, you can email us at hello@theinnergamer.net.
Someone's got to say it.
You can also find us online by going to theinnergamer.net and clicking on our social channels such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend. We'll be back next week with more cool stuff on video games. My name is Brayden Noski.
I'm Austin Morales.
I'm Devin Dury.
You've been listening to
The Inner Gamer. It's getting more and more hick as I keep pressing on.
I was like,
why?
We got a little banjo going on here.
Banjo.